like to talk this morning with the help of the Lord about what it means to be a faithful Christian. So we look out on the new year that's ahead of us, today being, I believe, the first Sunday in our 2025. I have some milestones that I'll be passing, Lord willing, in our in the course of this year. I will, January the 7th, which is Tuesday, I will pass my 40th anniversary of working in my occupation professionally. Before that, I guess I was a shade tree mechanic. But and if I make it to October, I'll turn 60 this year. So, whatever that means. Those are just things that's out there in the future. And I would say that for us, any of us, to see this year through successfully, spiritually, is going to definitely require that we are faithful. It's going to be difficult to make it through this year without being faithful. So I would like for us to look at what it means to be faithful, maybe a little different than just like to try to open up our minds a little bit to it. I'd like to go to the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament. And Nehemiah was a man that was involved in rebuilding the book just before Esther in the Old Testament. Nehemiah, Esther, Job, I believe that's how it goes. Nehemiah was a man that was heavily involved and invested in being able to see that Jerusalem was rebuilt. Remember, I believe he was a king's cupbearer. He was, I don't know. I've got it in my head that he wasn't a very big man, but maybe that's not true. I don't know. And but he was very, very instrumental in getting the gates up and the walls rebuilded, and some remarkable progress was made under his leadership when he went back to Jerusalem. So we want to look in the 7th chapter, and it appears that Nehemiah has, the walls are done, the gates are up, and it appears that Nehemiah might possibly be preparing to go back to the king, because he told the king, I just want to go down and help, and I'll come back. That was the agreement. So let's look in chapter 7 of Nehemiah, and we're going to look at beginning verse 1. And it says, it came to pass, when the wall was built, and I had set up the doors, and the porters, and the singers, and the Levites were appointed, that I gave my brother Hananiah the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem. For he was a faithful man and feared God above many. And I said unto them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot. And while they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them, and appoint watches for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, every one in his watch, and every one to be over against his house. So the phrase, obviously, for our topic this morning that stood out to me was the phrase here that says, "And I gave my brother," in verse 2, Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many. So I'd like to ask us this morning, what do you think Nehemiah had observed? Because it's like Nehemiah is preparing to go back where he had been in the kingdom of, for the king of Persia, Medes and Persians, however that was. And Nehemiah saw something in this man that made him realize that this man could be entrusted with the oversight of the city. He had came and put a tremendous amount of energy, and God had blessed his efforts and I believe anointed Nehemiah for this particular job. And now he's getting ready to turn it over to somebody else. And you don't put everything in order and then just turn it over to somebody just as a random thing. You know, I'm sorry, I work with a man that has this rule, I guess you would say, that he doesn't load his truck to his son. And I said, it's not that I don't love my son and I don't want to help him, but said, he's going to take that truck and he's going to tell me after he's borrowed it how fast it'll go and how much weight he hauled with it. And he said, so I just don't loan it to him. I just know that's what he's going to do. He don't borrow my trailer. He said, my son don't borrow my trailer. He said, he's liable to load something on there and that I wouldn't ever think about loading on my trailer. So he said, I don't load my trailer to my son. He said, I got another boy. He said it'd be all right for him to load it because said he's very cautious. But this one boy, he says, I know better. So obviously, Nehemiah saw something in this man that led him to believe that he could entrust him. If you get everything put together and you don't want it to come apart, then you want somebody that's, for our discussion this morning, that's faithful. You want a capable person. You don't want to buy a new piece of machinery and then just let it go to just anybody if they don't have any experience, they have no knowledge and no concept of what it means to use something properly, then don't let them have it. Don't let them use it. But this man, there was something completely different. He said his observation was, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many. We might say today that Hananiah, however you say this name, it almost seems like there was two men involved here. Maybe I'm misinterpreting that. that they had a personal experience with God. A personal experience. Because he said he feared God above many. Now, that means that he knew what it meant to be pleasing to God. And there was a reality. You know, if something is not a reality to someone, it's hard for them to be seriously impacted by it. But if they are really have a personal connection, then they're going to be, it's going to affect them. This is part of who I am. So if it don't turn out right, then I take it as a personal thing that it's a failure of mine. And that's the way this man was. He feared God above many what? Many other people? Or he feared the God above all the other gods. I'm not sure exactly what he had in mind there. But to me, it infers that he had a direct personal connection with what it meant to be pleasing to God. It says he was faithful. So I'll ask you, I've got five questions that I'd like for us to examine a little bit this morning. What does it mean to be labeled faithful? Do you want to be labeled faithful? I'll tell you, I'd rather be called faithful than reckless. I'd rather be called faithful rather than unfaithful. I'd rather be called faithful than somebody that is not dependable. Faithful sounds a lot better. I think it would look better on a resume to be called faithful than it would be to call adventuresome. Well, I don't know. Maybe it depends. Maybe if you're wanting to hire somebody that would go explore that cave, you know, maybe adventuresome would be more important than faithful. But I'll tell you, if I have an organization, if I have a company that's running well, then I don't want to hire someone that their resume screams spontaneous, careless, adventuresome. No, that's probably not the way I want it. I probably want someone that would be classified as faithful. All right? So, does it mean to be labeled faithful? This is question one. Does it mean it's present every time the doors are open? That's probably one of the easiest. Yeah, we think that's what faithful means. But is that all it means? Because there's times that things happen and we can't be there. Would faithful mean that you're willing to assume responsibility, almost any responsibility? I think faithful would include that. Would faithful mean you was willing to do whatever your hand finds to do? I think it would. You know, somebody that's faithful, well, you can depend on them. If it's something that needs to be done, they're faithful. Would it be someone that's prepared in his heart and his mind to fill up the gap? You know, if you showed up at my job and all you had in your, or what you brought to the workplace was a paintbrush and a stepladder and maybe a tape measure and said you were ready to go to work and a claw hammer. Not many mechanics have a claw hammer in their toolbox. Just saying. We wouldn't think that they was very well prepared, would we? But it says, what I'm asking here is, if we showed up at service and our personal devotion was current, we weren't like, "Who art thou, Lord?" No, it's not like that. You know, when Saul, as he was called then, when he was on the road to Damascus, and the Lord shined that light around him, and he fell down, and he heard that voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who's that talking? Who art thou?" Well, Paul wasn't in any place to be classified as faithful then, was he? But there came a time that we would classify Paul as faithful. When he come down to the point that he was answering to Felix and to King Agrippa and relating his account on the road Damascus, on the road to Damascus, I think you would classify Paul as faithful by that time, but not when he was on that road. When he was on that road, it was like, I don't know, who's that talking? Well, when we come here, for instance, and when we come here, and it's like, what are they singing about? Well, who are you praying to? What's going to happen next? Well, that wouldn't be in the vocabulary or the actions of someone called faithful. We'd be prepared, wouldn't we? We'd get down for prayer, and somebody needs to pray. So it's mentally and spiritually being prepared. That's part of the qualifications. It's some of the criteria for being faithful. Is someone willing to, well, there's a little gap here. If somebody else don't fill it, I will. That's being faithful. All right. And the last thing, the question I would have to ask, does the person that we might think about calling faithful, do they have a vision of what things should be and could be? Is that something that's on the horizon, or is it just not in their scope, or not in their ability, or not in their, I don't know, sometimes we might say, use an expression like not in their ballpark. But I think someone that's faithful, it's in their ballpark to think about, you know, the vision of what a congregation could be, the vision of what it means to reach out to other people and to be called faithful. I think that vision is there, that concept of why are we here? You know, in school, they have something, an organization they call FFA. And one of the things they ask themselves, every time they have a meeting, an official FFA meeting, they ask themselves, why are we here? So when we come here, I think if someone can't answer, why are we here, then I would say that's an area we need to move up on to be classified as faithful. So I want to ask us the overall question today is, are we a faithful Christian? And we may look at some of these five questions and say, well, I'm not doing very good on that. I remember my mother, towards the end of her life, realized that her driver's license had expired, and she wanted to get them renewed. Well, she'd been driving a long time. I mean, why wouldn't you want to get your driver's license renewed? And John, her husband at the time, was concerned about her driving because she hadn't driven in a long time. And he asked me to come and kind of talk to her about it. And I said, well, Mom, I said, I think the best thing to do is to go for a little drive. And we're just going to pretend that it's just you, and I want you to take me to Walmart. And so she got us. She knew how to get there. But there were several things that happened on the process of getting there that wasn't the best. And then I said, Mom, why don't you take me out to the campgrounds at Monarch Springs? She lived there in Neosho, so she knew how to get there. Her navigation skills were probably as good as they ever were. But there were several things that happened in the course of us going from her house to Walmart and then to the campgrounds and back to her house that wasn't the best. And we got in the garage and we got the car stopped, and she said, I said, well, Mom, I said, how do you think you did? And she sat there for just a moment, and she looked at me, and she said, not very good. I didn't think she did very good either. And I want us to know this morning that if we look at some of the things that we might quantify or label as being part of being faithful, and we recognize that we're in a place like my mother was and we're not doing very good. You know, I believe the Lord is here to help us. He don't want anything more for us than for us to be faithful. Every one of us. He wants us. Whether it's the simple, like no-brainer thing, or if it's the more complex thing, He wants us to be faithful. Not only for our image, because, you know, we like to try to promote that as Christians, we don't have this big ego to support. And, well, we don't. We want to be humble Christians and humble followers of Christ. But we, every one of us here wants to be considered faithful as a Christian. I wouldn't think there's anybody here who says, well, you can call me sporadic. That'll be just fine. No, we don't want to be called that. We want to be called faithful. We want to be called diligent. We want to be called on fire, anointed, something, you know, that means that it's important to us. I want to be faithful, not just today, not just in front of you, but I want to be faithful for this year. There's a whole year ahead of us, according to our calendar. I don't know how much time the Lord will give us, but I want to be, if whatever time the Lord gives us, I want to be faithful in it. So I'd like to turn maybe to Genesis, the 6th chapter, and notice a man that I believe was considered faithful. I would have to call him faithful. In Genesis, the 6th chapter, we'll begin reading in the first verse. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they had chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with them, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. We'll put a limitation on this. You folks are kind of going on your own tangent. There's a sin nature in you that's leading you astray. It says, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness. I want to stop there in verse 4 just a little bit. You know, one of the saddest things that can happen in our world today is when children that are born into good, solid, faithful parents' homes, they're faithful Christians, and they grow up, they have some incredible qualities that can take them a long ways. You know, it's kind of like playing baseball and getting a two-base hit or a three-base hit. You know what that means? That means that you hit the ball and you get to go to second or third base before it looks like you better stop. Sometimes people hit home runs. You know, sometimes people are raised in good, solid environments, and they come out into the workforce and they can hit a home run almost every time. And it looks like that success is just falling in their lap left and right. That's what he's talking about, what happened here. They come from a family where the father was a descendant of Seth, a father that had good, solid upbringing. And there were men of renown. There were people that made tremendous accomplishments. It happened then, and it happened today. Just listen to more what I read. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great to the in this earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Always dreaming up something else to contaminate faithfulness. Remember, faithfulness would be something that would incline us to being pleasing to the Lord. And their thoughts were on the opposite, things that were self-indulgent and all of that. And it says here in verse 6, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. And the Lord said, I'll destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I made them." But right in the midst of all of that, there was somebody that he couldn't destroy. His name was Noah. It says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Now, I want to ask you a question. What would it have been like to have been the only home, the only man to be faithful? We talk about things being rare as hen's teeth and all of that. Impossible, you know, just don't ever happen. Very, really strange, all of this kind of stuff. Well, Noah was one of those. He was faithful enough. Was he perfect? No. He didn't even, as far as we know, he didn't have the Holy Spirit in him like we can have dwelling in us today. That's an opportunity that we have that he didn't have. So we can be, we have the ability, we have the tools, we have we have a recipe for more success than Noah had. But in the midst of everybody else, not just most people, that's where we live today, most people in our world today are unchristian-like. Would you agree? There's something about the world around us that seems to just want to pull us down and tear us apart and ridicule us and cause us to feel that we're not really doing anything important with our life. That's what the world would like to do. And Noah lived in the middle of it, and it wasn't just most people around him, it was everybody. Everybody. Noah and his three sons, and their wives, and Noah's wife. They're the only ones that made it. The only ones. But it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was somebody, I don't know what all Noah was doing right, but I know this much, he was doing enough right that God considered him faithful. And he said, I can't destroy Noah. Don't you want to live in a way that the Lord, if he come down to where he said, I'm going to destroy it all if I can't find anybody, don't you want to be that one person? I want to be at least that congregation or that fellowship, or, you know, I want to be part of the number that the Lord says, I can't do it yet. There's just too many good people down there. There's too many faithful people, and I can't destroy the earth yet. I want to be the one. You remember when they went to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, they got down, I believe, to 10 righteous. And the Lord said, I won't do it if you can find 10 righteous. I want to be one of those 10. I want to be one of those faithful. Noah was one of those faithful. And the Lord spared him. And he'll spare us, I believe. He'll help us. But the thing I want us to get a hold of here with Noah is what Noah was doing to be faithful was not easy. It was going against the flow. It was going against the peer pressure. It was going against the things that people commonly expected out of everybody. You know how it is. You work in an environment with other people and they get to talking about some movie they've seen or some character in the on television or something like that, and they turn to me and said, "Dan, you know what I'm talking about, don't you?" And I said, "No, I don't." "What do you mean you don't?" I said, "Well, I just don't." "Well, have you ever seen this movie?" "No, I've never seen that movie." "Well, you know this part?" I said, "I'm sorry." I said, "Let's just make this clear. I don't have a TV. I don't go watch movies. So I don't know." "Really?" And that, if you ever want to change the conversation, you just tell somebody, "I don't have a television. Never have, never will." And they'll look at you like you've got three eyeballs. You ever notice that? And really, you don't. No. It's like they can't hardly wrap their minds around that. And I say, "No." And you can even make it more and say, "I think I'm pretty normal, don't you?" You know, I'm competing with you doing the same job, and you come and asking me questions, so, I mean, I don't know. But Noah was facing that, and he was faithful. Everybody around him was, how many wives did Noah have? One. How many did God make us to have? One. How many did the people all around him have? As many as they chose. Right? And I just read it to you. That's what the Bible says. Now, how would you like to live I guess there's men places in our United States where you'd be pretty strange if you only had one wife. I think they made it illegal now. But Noah was an oddball because he was faithful. That's the point I want to say. It wasn't just the easiest thing to do. Because depending on whether people respect you or not, they can take that conversation of, "You mean you don't have a television?" to where they look down on you and think that they start almost attacking you, can scoff at you. Somebody that, they say, "Well, you must live under a rock somewhere." They can say things like that. But Noah was faithful. He was faithful enough that God said, "I can't destroy everybody because there's Noah and his family. I want to be faithful enough." I don't want to just be faithful enough. I want to be faithful. I want to be full of faith. I want to be hitting on all segments that I can possibly hit on. Maybe there's something I can't do, but I want to hit on every one of them that I can and am capable of, and the Lord will help me be equipped to do. I want to hit on that one. And then let's look at another one. He's referred to in the New Testament in Romans, the 4th chapter. And we know him in the Scripture because of this passage here in Romans and other places as the father of the faithful. In Romans, the 4th chapter, in the 16th verse, it says, "Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end of the promise, to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." Abraham was before the law. Abraham, there was no law per se, other than a consciousness of God. There was no law before Abraham came along, but because Abraham was faithful and he wanted to cultivate his relationship with the Lord, he wanted to improve. He was willing to be responsible. He was willing to listen to what the Lord was calling him to do, and he pulled up his stakes and said, Lord, I'm ready to go wherever you show me to go. And he basically followed the Lord to the land of Canaan. And he is the father of us today that would be considered faithful, faithful in our devotion to the Lord. And I want to be that. I want to be faithful. I want people to say, well, you can count on them, him. He'll be there. If he says he'll be there, he'll be there. If he's not able to come, you'll get some communication. You know how frustrating it is. Somebody says, yeah, oh yeah, I'll come. That's exactly what you got for sale is exactly what I want. I'll be there. That's the last words you ever hear from them. They never show up. You try to call them back, it's silence. I've got $105 invested in one of those right now. Guy said, I got what you need. I said, I want what you have. How do I pay you? I sent him some money. Yep, I've got the money. I'll put it in the mail. I'll send it to you. Never saw it. I got him on the phone one time. Hey, I didn't get my part. Oh, yeah, we found out it got shipped to the wrong address. I must have got the wrong number. I'll send it out again, or I'll send you another one. I said, fine, that'll be, just as long as I get one's all I need. He won't answer my phone call, don't respond to a text message. One of them deals, not very faithful. I want to be different than that. You need to be different than that. Lord, help us to be faithful. I want to be a Christian, but I don't want to just be a Christian with a bumper sticker. I want to be a Christian because my character says he's a Christian. I want to be a Christian because other people have to look on and acknowledge that I'm a Christian. And they're not just looking on and saying, well, that's a professor. He professes to be a Christian. I want somebody to look on us individually and say, those people are Christians. They don't need a dictionary definition to go look at and compare to. They don't need to go read a chapter in the Bible. But our life convinces them they're faithful Christians. They believe and they live to what they say they believe. Lord, I want to be like that. I want somebody to can say, they're faithful. You remember Nehemiah saw that man. He had observed something in him. Do you think there was a campaign and that man was running for chief mucky muck of Jerusalem? No, he wasn't. It was something that Nehemiah observed in him, and he said, I want you to pick up the responsibility. I'm going to have to go back to the house. I'm going to have to go back where my other responsibility is. But you're faithful. And you fear God. And that's what's necessary. In John, the first chapter, Jesus noticed someone that was faithful. We'll go to St. John, the first chapter. We'll be done here shortly. St. John, the first chapter, we'll start reading in the 43rd verse. And the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and said unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of the Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. Come and see. And when Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. My objective, and I trust yours is today, that you would be a spiritual Israelite. A spiritual Israelite. Where somebody looks on, you know, when somebody says, if there ever was a Christian, that person is a Christian. You know what he's saying? If there ever was a spiritual Israelite, that's a spiritual Israelite. That's what he's saying. And Jesus said of Nathanael, there's an Israelite in whom is no guile. No false premise here. This man is genuine. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Oh, I'm going to tell you, that got a hold of Nathanael. He knew nobody could do that except God. But he knew God could. Do we have a close enough connection with God that we believe God can? That God can do those things that no person can do? Nathanael did. Nathanael knew that God is the only one, and God could. And Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Did you know that Nathanael was someone that Jesus saw as a faithful person? He feared God above many. There were other distractions. You know, every one of these people that we've read about, we read about Noah, we read about Abraham, we read about Nathanael, they were all surrounded by unbelieving pagan people. They were also surrounded by that. Nathanael had his share of pagans. They were under the control of the Roman Empire, and they were pagan. They got their paganism from the Greeks. And the Greeks were, and the Romans, they still study Greek mythology and all of that because it was an advanced religious practice. And they still study it today. And they laud its corruption. They were all surrounded with that. And yet, every one of these, the God of heaven saw something in them called faithful. What I believe that he deemed as faithful. Nathanael did things right because they were the right things to do. That's what it means to be faithful. Nathanael didn't need someone to constantly correct him or give him direction because he was connected with the Father. A faithful person wrote this down. A faithful person not only has a vision and knows how to live, but he lives to his vision and his knowledge. He not only knows what it is, but he lives to it. That's what it means to be faithful. I believe there's always an allowance for things that we don't understand and the things that the Lord's still working on. You know, there's a song that says he's still working on me. And I believe that God is going to be working on all of us long term. I'd like to go to 2 Corinthians in closing, the 8th chapter, and notice the 12th verse. He says, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. You know, if there's something that's missing in our faithful description today. Maybe when I read those questions, you say, whoops, I missed it on that one. You know, the Lord wants you to be faithful in everything that you understand. And He wants you to grow and mature, and He's looking for you to be faithful in all things. There's probably more facets to faithfulness than I've even brought up today. But the Lord wants us to become faithful in all of those things. And I want to encourage us that if you find yourself short, and maybe you know, to be faithful, I really need to be whatever. I don't want you to be discouraged. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, and he told them, it's accepted according to that a man hath and not according to what he hath not. If you're missing something, it's not counted against you. You ever took a test? Sometimes you take a test in school, and if you if you don't answer it, I don't remember how this works now. It'd be better to answer even if you're not right. You know, and there's other times that if you answer and you get it wrong, it's like it takes a point off of your correct answers. Well, it's not that way with the Lord. You do everything you know to do. And if there's something you don't know the right answer to, the Lord doesn't count that against you, because He's willing to work with you. He's willing to work with me. And I'm so grateful for that, because I know the Lord needs to work on me. And I want to be more faithful. And I want to be not only more faithful, I ultimately, for this year, I want to be successful. I want to come to the end of 2025, time permitting. Lord, give me life and health and strength for another year. I want to come to this place next year and say, thank the Lord, I was able to be faithful. And I want you to be able to do that too. I want you to be able to come to the end of this calendar year and say, thank the Lord, I was able to be faithful. By the grace of God, by His empowerment, by His strength, I was able to be faithful. Just remember, the Marines in our United States is always looking for a few good men. He's looking for a few good men. The Lord's looking for someone to be faithful. He'd like for everyone to be faithful, but He's looking for someone to be faithful. And that someone is each one of us here today. You pray for me.